The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Second Sunday in Advent, it's kind of a Judgment Day theme. Jesus came as promised, and he is coming again. We pray that God would bless us as we prepare our hearts and minds for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning, our opening hymn, number 515, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. It's on page 151 and following. Worship insert for the day, the readings are on one side, propers are on the other. Please note that during the season of Advent, we hold back from singing our hymn of praise and a few other parts of our liturgy, so please take note of that. We'll sing them again and anew Christmas Eve. Let's bow our heads now for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house during this special season. Away from the maddening crowds, away from the commercialism of the season, to hear your word of hope, your word of love, your word of peace, your word of endurance, your word of encouragement. Heavenly Father, teach us to be encouraged, not by our own thoughts or desires, but by the good news of a God who keeps his word, sending his Son to live and die and rise and give us life, life to the full. Heavenly Father, bless us now as we are encouraged by the only true encouraging word, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for us. It is in his powerful and precious name that we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 515.
Thank you.
151, page 151. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. And lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit for the day. Pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi, chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual appointed truth. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The epistle is from Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue now with our sermon hymn number 353, Jesus Came, the Heavens Adoring, 353.
Jesus came.
Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Waking up this morning and going outside to start my car and scrape the ice off the windshield, it was 17 degrees out. There's so much ice on the windshield, it took almost 10 minutes to get it all off. And by the time I climbed inside, it was still cold. My breath and the coffee that I had in my hand fogged up all the interior windows. And it made me really yearn for the hopeful months ahead. Springtime. When I was growing up, spring was one of my favorite times of the year. There was new life all around as the ditches started to turn green. We were getting machinery ready for another planting season, and of course, something that I love and now my wife also loves, cows were beginning to have calves. I love being able to go out with my dad and chasing down these newborn calves to stick a tag in their ear with the same number on it as their mom, so that if they got out, we'd be able to pair up the right calf with the right cow. But this springtime of new life and little babies on the ground meant that there was a new job to do on the farm, which I really hated. I was fixing fence. My dad would give me a brand new pair of leather gloves to wear. He'd make me stand there like this and load my arms up with as much T-posts and wire as I could hold. And then he'd throw a pair of fencing pliers in my back pocket and say, "Have fun." And I can always remember the end of the first day of doing that. You would come home and tear those gloves off your hands, and they were almost torn to shreds from the barbed wire. And your hands had all the little cuts and scrapes to show where the gloves really didn't do their job that well. It was painful, toilsome work. But after about a week or so of doing that, calluses would begin to form, and what was once toilsome work wasn't that bad anymore. That's the way many things work in this life. If we push through it and endure it, then after a while, it's not so hard to bear. That is what St. Paul is reminding us a little bit today in our epistle reading, that God our Father is the God of endurance and encouragement. The one who gives us every good blessing here in this life so that we can endure life here in this sinful, fallen world. We can endure because God has given us our body and soul, our mind and our reason to be able to figure out how to get through the day. And He has richly blessed us with our food and clothing, wife, children, land, animals, all that we have. And even when these things may be lacking, as in this fallen world sometimes happens, we lose things that we need to be able to endure this world. God has still blessed us. He has caused His word to be written down for us so that through the Holy Spirit working through the word, we might have faith to believe in the words and promises of God for us. That even though we live here in this sinful, fallen world, God has caused His word to be written for us so we know exactly who He is and what He has done for us, how He has won for us life and salvation. And He does this by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the word of the Lord, which produces endurance. Left to ourselves, without any hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the forgiveness He has won for us, what would we have to cling to here in this world? What would we have to hope in when we have to endure the painful things that this world has to offer? Take, for example, if you didn't properly prepare for your finances and you find yourself with bills that you're unable to pay. The world would say, you can hope in your bank. You can go to your bank and pull out a loan and have enough money to buy yourself out of debt and provide for the things that you need in order to continue living here in this world. Or if that process takes too long, you can go down the road to the local payday advance place and get your paycheck a couple weeks before it's due to give you just enough so you can put food on your table and provide for those God has entrusted to you. These things may work. These things may make you able to pay to live for a little while longer here in this world. But they will also leave you wanting. Because if you have to put in extra hours at work and strive for as much overtime as you can get, you're going to be pulled away from the other vocations God has given to you. You're going to be pulled away from your children and your spouses. As you try to put in more hours at work, you're going to have to hope and pray that the child care centers and the schools that your children are in will raise up your children the way you want them to be, to hope that they will instill the Christian values in them that you know they need to survive in this world. And you will have to hope and pray that your spouse will remain faithful to you, even though you're not able to spend as much time with them. Or what happens if your health fails you and you are unable to work any longer? The world would say, hope in your doctors. They can help you out with anything to get you back into the workforce, to be able to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and continue to live here in this world. But unfortunately, there are certain things that doctors cannot reverse, whether that's severe sickness or disease, or maybe your mind starts to slip into dementia a little bit. Maybe you're in an accident and are paralyzed and there is nothing they can do for you but give you medications to ease your pain and allow you to have a little bit of comfort still here and now. These things may help us endure for a short while, but they cannot give us comfort. They cannot give us hope to endure when the whole world seems to be crashing down on top of us. Only our Lord Jesus Christ can give us that hope by trusting in His Word. I'm reminded as I go around on the shut-ins during this month of December that even though the whole world is celebrating right now, seems like everybody is excited and joyful for the Christmas time season, which is upon us. This time of year also brings something a little unexpected to many: depression. Either they remember loved ones that have died that are no longer here to celebrate with them, which makes them sad. Or maybe they've had problems in their marriage this past year, or their children have left and don't come home as much as they would like. They feel down. They see the world joyful around them, and yet they can't help but feel sad and alone. The world would say, go to your therapist. Receive their instruction and their medications to help you get through, to endure a little while longer. But that also is not guaranteed to work. What is it then that we trust in? What is it that we hope in to be able to endure whatever evil betides us here in this world? We can hope and endure in Jesus Christ, the one who humbled himself to be born of the Virgin Mary. 100% true God is now at the same time 100% true man, humbling himself, not using his godliness, not using his divinity, but living as a mortal man like you and me, putting himself under the curse of this world to endure everything that we endure and overcoming it for us. Jesus did this when he was a young man at 12 years old in Jerusalem. He humbled himself although he is the all-knowing God, he put that aside and humbled himself to learn the words of God in the Scriptures. When his parents were in Jerusalem for the Passover and had departed a whole day's journey back to Nazareth and finally found out, "Where's Jesus?" and had to go back and found him in the temple on the third day, his mother was furious. "What is this, Jesus, that you have done to us?" And Jesus simply says, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" He was there listening to the word of God. He was there asking questions to the priests to hear and learn the full counsel of God, to know exactly what he was sent here in this world to do for you and for me, trusting in his Father's will and words and living in the faith for us. Jesus continued on after his baptism to be driven into the wilderness and tempted by Satan himself. Satan wanted him to use his divinity. He wanted him to show that he was God, saying, "You've been out here 40 days, you're hungry. Turn these stones into bread that you may eat." Jesus does not fall for the tricks of Satan, but simply says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Quoting exactly from Deuteronomy chapter 8, using God's very own word to fight off the attacks of the evil one. Jesus continued every Sabbath day, as was his custom, to read the word of God and to preach upon it, to show all the people present that he was the one sent. He was the Messiah, the one promised of old. Just as St. Paul reminds us today in our reading, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs." Jesus was the one sent to fulfill the promise given to Abraham. "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And so we are. We are because Jesus not only endured to live in this world, but also endured dying to life in this world for us. He knew exactly what he was doing when he entered into Jerusalem on Holy Week. It did not take him by surprise that the people that were once shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," then started shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus endured being whipped and flogged and led away to the cross, to be nailed to it hand and foot, to endure lifting himself up as he struggled for each breath for 6 hours on the cross, so that after enduring our sins upon him and the punishment that we deserve, he could say, "It is finished." Jesus has done everything necessary for us and for our salvation. He has given us himself so that we may read the word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit working through that word of God, believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. To endure this world, even though it may be hell at some time. God promises to us many great blessings. And he has given us many great blessings here, even in this world. Our possessions, our family, our friends. But God never promises us that life in this world will be carefree and easy. In fact, he says quite the opposite. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my behalf. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." Life in this world may not be pleasant. Life in this world may not be good, but we are able to endure because we know that life in this world is not the only life we have to look forward to. Jesus has promised us life and salvation forever with Him in paradise. He has promised us that there we shall experience everlasting joy and happiness. No more sorrow, no more sighing, just peace in the presence of our God forever. As He says today in our gospel lesson, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. Jesus' word of promise for you that your sins are forgiven because of what He has done for you on the cross will never pass away. You have the gift of eternal life because Jesus has won for you salvation. Jesus has given all this to you through His word and has promised to send the Holy Spirit to you in that word, to enliven faith in your hearts, to cling to and hold fast to the words and promises of God. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hope that we, here and now, are the children of God, purchased and won by the blood of Jesus, washed and redeemed in the waters of holy baptism, having the name of our one true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit placed upon us to give us endurance and encouragement to live here in the sinful world until the last day when God takes us to be with Him in paradise, keeping us in the faith, keeping us strong until that time. He has promised to do this for you. He has promised to do this for me because we are His church here on earth, the ones who, together with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We, as God's baptized people, the ones making up His church on earth, glorify with one voice, our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each and every time we confess one of the three Christian creeds. And today we shall do that with the Nicene Creed, confessing exactly who our God is, the one who has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, the one who has redeemed us from our sins and has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. And so now, in this fallen world, as God's church on earth, we live in the hope that this world is not our only home. We live in the hope that we someday will have everlasting joy and peace. And until that time, we spread this joy with other people. When our brother and sister in Christ is struggling and cannot afford food on their table, we have the opportunity to help them out. When our fellow brother or sister in Christ is sick and in the hospital or at home being taken care of by hospice, we have the opportunity to go and visit them and share the good news of Jesus Christ even for them, the one who has promised to be with them to the very end, to keep them firm in the faith until we shall be with Him forever in paradise. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen. Now we stand and confess with one voice the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light.
according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are in our news and notes today, we pray for Good Shepherd member Rachel Wortman, who is currently hospitalized. Good Shepherd member Kim Bach, who is currently hospitalized. Good Shepherd member Joe Roberts, who was hospitalized this past week and is now recuperating at home. And we pray for special blessings for Good Shepherd member Kylan Schnell as he leaves today for Navy boot camp. Let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, give ear to our cries for mercy. Create in us contrite hearts and work in us true repentance and faith. Keep us, your baptized children, clothed in the perfect holiness and righteousness of your Son, that we may remain his beautiful and unblemished bride. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for retaining among us your holy word and sacraments. Continue to raise up faithful stewards of your mysteries, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name would be proclaimed in our midst and throughout the world. Prepare all your baptized children to be faithful confessors of the hope that is in them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Fill us, your children, with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abound in hope. Remove from us all grumbling and coveting, that we would be faithful in our vocations and glad in our daily work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the midst of strife and conflict, wars and rumors of wars, remind us that you have given all authority in heaven and on earth to your Son, our ascended Lord. Call to faithfulness the leaders of the earth and bless those who govern. Thwart those who would hinder your reign among all peoples, that peace may be established in all places. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, stretch forth your almighty arm to strengthen and protect those who serve in the armed forces of our country. Support them in times of war, and in times of peace, keep them from all evil, giving them courage and loyalty. Grant that in all things they may serve with integrity and honor. Heavenly Father, reach out your loving and caring hand to your good and faithful servant, Kylan Schnell. Bless him as he begins his journey in the armed forces today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Many in our midst have been afflicted with pain, sickness, trials, and difficulties. Be merciful to those who are suffering. Especially this day, we lay before you Rachel, Kim, Joe, Al, Linda, Harlan, Wayne, Sheldon, Riker, Laverne, Pat, Lori, Shirley, Ron, Lori, Shauna, Dan, Jane, Emma, Deb, Janet, Barb, Walter, and all those that we remember in our hearts. We also pray for all those families who are mourning the loss of loved ones. The family of Arlen Russert, the family of Dennis Rasmussen, the family of Mary Brock, the family of Cleo Kessler, the family of Donna White, the family of Cindy Melcher. Heavenly Father, comfort them with the only comfort that can truly comfort: Jesus, crucified and risen for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have taught us to straighten up and raise our heads when we see the coming of the Son of Man. Even now your Son comes to us under bread and wine and the sacrament of the altar. Grant that all who commune today may receive the very body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all their sins and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, our King, who comes to us. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the God of encouragement and endurance would bless you with hope today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Please stand as we sing.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house.
In the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right in giving thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us.
Now the hearts of God's peace and enjoy your sins are
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn.
Jesus, we had lots of stuff going on the last several days, the next few days, bake sale going on between services, okay, so help out the Concordia students and their quest to attend the National March for Life, okay, all right, I knew I was close, okay, Good Shepherd News and Notes, all the activities and events in the days and weeks to come. It's been a wild week this last week. We had two funerals, and we had all the other normal activities that happen during the week. Yesterday, we had our Red Cross blood drive, and to the best of my knowledge, we surpassed our goal or quota that was assigned for us. So thanks to everybody that helped out. It was a great day. And great blessing, good, always a good reminder of former Vicar Short. But we're on a schedule now every two months, every 8 weeks, we'll be having a Red Cross blood drive here. So keep that in your thoughts and prayers. And if anybody would like to help with some of the organization of that, that would be a good and God-pleasing thing too. Yesterday we had Christmas caroling. I think we had a record crowd show up for people to Christmas carol. Well, it sure seemed like it. Yeah, lots of people, and we brightened up lots of days. So thanks be to God for that opportunity as well. Yesterday we had our Christmas program practice. We'll continue with the school, preschool, and Sunday school working together on that. And not this Wednesday, but a week from Wednesday night on the 19th, 6:30 in the evening will be that that activity, that Christmas children's Christmas program. This Wednesday, we have a fellowship meal at 5 to 6:15, Advent worship at 6:30, midweek and confirmation are regular along with that, And at the 10:30 service today, several of our junior confirmads will have part two of their questioning, the Apostles' Creed. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers. You heard in our prayers for today, one of our young men is off a little bit later today, serving in the Navy, Great Lakes, Illinois, and then to Pensacola, Florida, and then who knows where, as he is enlisted to serve. And we're very, very proud and very, very thankful, and we want to encourage Kylan as well. Kylan, you want to stand up? Thanks be to God, and may God keep you safe. And you're in our thoughts and prayers here with your family and Good Shepherd as well. Good job, Vicar. Anything else? All right, coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We'll continue our look at Romans chapter 2. And summary Christian doctrine, room 109. What are we studying today, Pastor?
We're looking at the Ten Commandments in detail and talking through each of those.
Are we for them or against them?
Well, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And there are a few Advent devotional booklets on the back counter there. So if you haven't picked one up yet, they're very good. And we'll walk you through Luther's Small Catechism. Have a great day and week and Advent in the hope and endurance that is yours in Christ Jesus.